Part 1 Description. We're standing with our backs to the museum's 24th Street entrance, facing the Doryphorus, the statue of an idealized male athlete. He stands in the center of a rotunda, surrounded by a circular railing. It's a busy hallway, so you may notice activity. Beyond the sculpture is a court area with a fountain. The rotunda is 3 stories high, topped with a skylight. You may detect an echo from all the open space and hard surfaces. The Doryphorus is one of 4 surviving Roman copies of a Greek sculpture. The original was by a sculptor named Polyclitus, and it was made of bronze in the 5th century BCE, short for Before the Common Era. Copies like the one in front of you now are of marble. This one was made 3 to 4 centuries after the original. The Doryphorus depicts a slightly larger-than-life nude male. He stands 6.5 feet tall and is 19 inches wide and 19 inches deep. The word Doryphorus means spear-bearer. The youth depicted would have once held a spear, though his left forearm is now missing. Other parts are also missing. These include the tip of his nose, the front of the right foot, the genitals, and the ends of the fingers on the right hand. This statue was found in 6 pieces. The sculpture is made of white marble that looks cool to the touch, but the marble isn't flawless. It shows scratches or rough marks smudged with brown. These are possible signs that it once resided underwater or in the ground, perhaps roughed up by a passing plow. The Doryphorus represents a young, handsome athlete, possibly the Greek hero Achilles, setting off to fight in the Trojan War. He is an ideal male caught forever in dynamic equilibrium between the tension of movement and the balance of relaxation. The Greek sculptor Polyclitus, who made the original on which this copy is based, argued that human perfection could be demonstrated with mathematical precision. He believed that individual body parts were in harmonious proportion to one another and to the whole. His hypothesis was that the length of the little finger was squared to calculate the length of the palm. The size of the hand was squared to calculate the length of the forearm, and so on. Take a moment to feel your finger and imagine these proportions. This formula of rules, called a canon, could be studied or followed by other artists. The Doryphorus stands in a pose called contrapposto, or counterpoise, a stance that balances action and relaxation. Here's what it looks like. The right leg is straight and bears the body's weight. It's balanced by the left arm, which is engaged. It's the arm that once held the spear. The left leg is bent and is balanced by the relaxed right arm. The sculpture realistically shows how the pose engages every part of the body. Shoulders, elbows, hips, and knees shift up or down on horizontal axes. The head is turned towards the weight-bearing leg, a stance typical in most of Polyclitus' statues. If you like, try this pose yourself. As you bend your left leg, notice how your left hip shifts down and your right hip goes up. The statue's details are lifelike, from its chiseled curly hair to the articulated toes and veins. The sculpted inner ear and pectoral muscles speak of physical perfection. The eyes are serene and the facial expression is calm. The Doryphorus represents a young man who is not only physically, but also intellectually perfect. Part 2, The World of Doryphorus. The Greek dramatist Sophocles proclaimed, "The world is full of wonders, but nothing is more wonderful than man." Roman copies of ancient Greek sculptures are extremely valuable. Many Greek works were cast in bronze and readily melted down in times of war to make weapons. As a result, very few ancient bronze sculptures have survived to the present day. Roman copies provide us with an idea of what they were like. The classical period of Greek civilization began with Athens' victory over the Persians in the 5th century BCE. Under the ruler Pericles, Athens became the political, cultural, and commercial center of the Western world. Many important events took place. The Parthenon was built, Herodotus wrote the history of the Persian Wars, and democracy was established as a form of government. Also, the philosophy of humanism, which emphasized the importance of the individual, flourished. At festivals called the Olympic Games, prizes went to the best athletes as well as to the best poets, dancers, orators, and musicians. Ideal beauty and perfection were held in high esteem, including in the visual arts. Just as the Parthenon embodied the ideals of harmony and rational order in architecture, so did the Dorifers embody ideal proportions in the human figure. Classical Greece had a powerful influence on the Roman Empire and on the foundations of Western civilization. The Romans admired many attributes of classical Greece, and they adopted the look of Greek statues for two reasons: status and politics. Wealthy Romans wanted sculptures for their townhouses and country villas. This demand spawned a thriving industry in replicas and variations on famous Greek statues. Many copies were made by Greek sculptors living in Rome, Greece, and Greek cities on the coast of Asia Minor. Politics also played a role. Roman rulers commonly adapted classical Greek art for their own self-promotion. They commissioned statues that used a copy of a Greek original for the body and topped it with a Roman portrait head. They immortalized themselves as a version of the Dorifers, with armor on the body and their own facial likeness. This Roman practice resulted in a new form of portraiture that was also adopted by aristocratic families.